Hi, and welcome to Centre Church. We hope that you enjoy this message recorded live from our Burgess Hill campus.
So this we've just finished a month of messages on this idea of big questions, and we've answered a few of the sort of curly ones that generally are asked about Christianity. And I think it was, it was an outstanding month with some outstanding messages delivered by different members of our church family, and really excited about that. But what we want to do is now we want to move this month into this idea of gratitude. And we thought it was a great idea to start the series the same morning that we held a baptism service, because how can you be more thankful than a baptism service? And we're so excited that we can give thanks to God that the four people who entered the waters of baptism, I know they're thankful. That's came through in their messages. And so we want to talk about this idea. We've given the title to the whole month, The Anatomy of Gratitude. So what does gratitude look like? What's it made up of? And so my task this morning is to sort of do the groundwork, to lay sort of something of a foundation for those that come after me to follow and to build on and to express their own feelings and thoughts as God reveals to them what gratitude is. How does it work in our lives? So, as I said, anatomy of gratitude. My message this morning, I've given the title Gratitude That Transforms, Recognition, Relationship, Response. Three aspects that we're going to unpack. And we're going to talk about what gratitude is and what gratitude isn't. We're going to cover the paradox of gratitude. We're going to talk about its biblical foundations, and we're going to talk about the universality of gratitude. Gratitude is a response fundamentally to something, or it's a recognition that we've been given something. We've received something of value. That's gratitude. At its core, it has three essential elements. The first one is an acknowledgement that something good has happened to all of us. Something good. Now, I know we go through life and we're faced with ups and downs, and we even heard testimony this morning that there's been highs and lows in people's lives. But at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge that we are the recipients of good things. And hopefully we'll unpack one or two of those things, we'll touch on them, and we'll be able to see those good things in our lives. We need to understand that this goodness comes from outside of ourselves. So it's either from another person, another circumstance, or something even beyond our control. Gratitude comes to us in those different ways. And finally, it requires an appreciation. An appreciation for the benefit that we've received for that thing of value that's come to us. Now, unlike simple pleasure or happiness, gratitude involves relationship. It connects us to something or someone beyond ourselves. It's both a momentary emotional response and a deeper orientation toward life that recognizes our interdependence and the gifts, both large and small, that surround us or that find their way to us. And sometimes it's hard to see it at first, but then you see it at a later point. Case in point, or an example from my own life, when I went to Bible college, I gave up full-time work. I'd saved up money. I sold my precious car that I loved dearly and spent more time washing it than I probably did driving it. But I spent all my time with this car. But I sold it because I wanted to raise the money to go to college. And I was able to raise enough money to get me through the first 6 months of college. Then, just through completely unforeseen circumstances, I had no clue that this was going to happen. The company that I worked for said to me, "We want you to come and work every time the school holidays are on." Well, I'm studying, so I'm in that school holiday rhythm. And so I would go back to my workplace. And those that worked there who had young children and couldn't find someone to care for their children, I could come and work and they could stay at home. And so I went back into an environment that I was familiar with. I knew the work. I was able to just jump straight in. They didn't need to train anybody. They didn't have to have someone that was like a contractor. And so I was able to work every holidays. Short story, bringing it, you know, quickly to an end, I ended up, that first year, I owed the bank 20 Australian dollars. I was $20 in the red by the end of that year. Pretty amazing considering I didn't have a lot. But then I went into second year and I thought, wow, I haven't had a chance to save. I'm actually in the red. How am I going to get to the end of the second year? And then just circumstances, things outside of my doing, people started giving me gifts or they started giving me things that would help me, computers to do my assignments on, money, again, jobs, being able to work. And I got to the end of my second year and I was $60 in the black. And I thought, wow, that's an improvement. I don't owe anybody anything. I'm feeling good. And then we got to the third year and thankfully, I mean, God provided and that's a story in itself. But I ended up working for the last 3 months of my time at college. So I worked full-time and I studied full-time and I was tired a lot of the time. So, but God was bringing to me these things of value outside of myself, outside of my control. The Apostle Paul writes this, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights." It's in James 1:17. And this passage points to the ultimate source of all that we receive. Our God is a good God and He gives us good things. And He works in such a way that we are the beneficiaries of His goodness and His faithfulness. So that's what gratitude is. What gratitude isn't, it's not mere politeness. While thank you is often expressed when we receive something, and it's an expression of gratitude, the social courtesy of thanking someone doesn't necessarily involve the genuine recognition and appreciation that defines true gratitude. We can say thanks out of habit. We all do it. Someone opens the door and holds the door for us, we say thank you. Somebody does something nice for us, we drop something, they pick it up, we say thank you. It's the social expectation that we live under. But we can do that without actually being grateful. We're effectively just going through the motions. In the book of Psalms, which we've heard a bit from this morning, here's what the psalmist says about authentic gratitude. In Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." And that passage emphasizes the heartfelt recognition rather than an empty ritual. It's a choice that we undertake. We give thanks on purpose, intentionally, not because we feel we have to, but it's the right thing to do. It's not based on feelings. It's not obligation or debt, gratitude. Gratitude differs from feeling indebted because it doesn't carry the burden of some sort of required repayment. Now, we do that, don't we? When somebody does something nice for us, we want to return it. Or we use this principle that you've probably heard of, we pay it forward. We try and do something nice for somebody else in recognition that somebody's done something nice for us. True gratitude is freely given recognition rather than a transaction that demands setting accounts. We're not trying to balance the ledger. We are thankful and we have gratitude because it's the right thing to do, not because it's an obligation or a debt. Paul, in writing to the Ephesian church, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." It's the gift of God. Gratitude is not denial or toxic positivity. Authentic gratitude doesn't require ignoring problems, minimizing pain, or pretending that everything is fine. It's real. It's genuine. It's possible to feel genuine gratitude while simultaneously acknowledging difficulties, disappointments, and hurts or losses. We can hold those two things in tension because of the nature of gratitude. Paul demonstrates this when writing to the church in Thessalonica. He says, "Be joyful always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And the note here is that gratitude is in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. I'm sure if I went around this room, each and every one of us could probably recount a story where we're not so thankful for something that happened in our lives. But even in the midst of that challenge, we can still have an attitude of gratitude. Because we're not thankful for the thing, we're thankful in that situation, knowing that that might likely produce something positive for us going forward. So here's the paradox of gratitude. It simultaneously makes us feel both humble and elevated. Both humble and elevated. Humble because it acknowledges our dependence on others and forces beyond our control. Yet elevated because it connects us to something, or more accurately, someone larger than ourselves, and often inspires us to be better than we would otherwise be, to be better in our nature. Jesus, he spoke of this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. He said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." Showing gratitude humbles human wisdom and elevates childlike trust. So here's some biblical foundation for gratitude. The Bible, Scripture, presents gratitude as both a natural human response and a spiritual discipline. The Psalms are filled with expressions of thanksgiving. One example is Psalm 100, verse 4. And we read from Psalm 100 this morning at our pre-service prayer meeting. But this is what it says: "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." We are called to be intentional. We are called to be a people of action. We are called to give thanks, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. The Bible portrays gratitude as essential to proper relationship with God and with others. It makes it clear that grateful recognition is not optional but foundational to spiritual and emotional health. Foundational to spiritual and emotional health. In the Old Testament, we see gratitude in this concept of remembrance. Remembering God's faithfulness and provision. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." But also, if you read through the Old Testament, you'll see a number of situations where something happened. God was involved in the lives of the people of Israel. And what did they do? They built a monument of stones to remember what God had done at that particular time. Lots and lots of leaning on this idea of remembrance. New Testament continues the same theme. Paul's letters contain over 20 expressions of thanksgiving, modeling gratitude as a way of life rather than an occasional sentiment. A way of life. It's about who we are at our core. The universality of gratitude. Now, expressions of gratitude vary across cultures and can be quite dramatic in their variations. There's the idea in the Japanese culture of on, acknowledging lifelong debt to others. Latin American have this concept of gracias a Dios, thanks to God. The basic human capacity for grateful recognition is universal. Every known culture has developed ways to acknowledge and express appreciation, suggesting that gratitude serves fundamental human needs for connection, meaning, and social cohesion. Fundamental human needs for connection, meaning, and social cohesion. As I was researching for the message, I came across this philosophy. It's an African expression of gratitude called, please correct me if I say this wrong, Ubuntu. Ubuntu. Ubuntu basically says this. This is the philosophy. It's translated as humanity to others, or I am because we are. I am because we are. This idea of I am because we are is reflected in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:12 and 26 says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." Both philosophies, Ubuntu, Christianity, and many of the others, reject radical individualism in favor of understanding the fundamental truth: human identity is relational and interdependent. Relational and interdependent. The Ubuntu principle that our humanity is realized through offers parallels through Jesus' teaching, where it says in Mark 12, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. And to do that, it's inseparable from loving God. We can't say that we love God and not love people. We talked about that when we did our series on 1 John. Remember the stool that I created, or the tabletop with the three legs? You need all three legs, and relational connection is one of the three legs. And 1 John makes it very clear that you cannot say, I love God, but then not love your brother or sister. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, he said this about the integration between Ubuntu and Christian theology. He said that Ubuntu's emphasis on our fundamental interconnectedness reflects the Trinitarian nature of God. The fact that God is three and one. There's a relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This morning we baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are created in that image of, and we are designed for relationship. Divine life is inherently relational rather than solitary. This universality suggests that gratitude isn't merely a social construct, but reflects something deeper about our human nature and about our need to recognize the web of relationships that sustain us, our vertical relationship with God and our horizontal relationship with each other. From a biblical perspective, this universal capacity reflects our creation in God's image, as I've already said, and our inherent design for relationship and worship. That's why we sing. It's why every service we have a time of singing, because it draws us closer to God, but it also draws us closer to each other. As we sing, we get encouraged by the people around us as they are declaring the praises of God through their voices. And I don't know why, but Tom hasn't invited me onto the worship team to sing. Actually, I do know why, because if you heard me sing, the church would be very empty. But the reality is, I can make a joyful noise. The Bible says that. And I do. Tom sometimes stares at me and says, hey, just take it down a couple of volumes, will you? But there's something about our vertical and horizontal relationships and being in church that signifies gratitude and how we connect with one another. And here's my closing scripture. Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing to the Lord all my life. There's a declaration. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. As long as I live.
Following today's message, if you are asking what's next, please do not hesitate to contact us at info@centre-church.uk. For any more information or to find out more of what we do as a church, check out our website at www.centrechurch.uk.